talk today about how faith requires risk. Faith always requires that we take risk. We may have to risk being a little embarrassed sometimes when we're exercising our faith. We step out and we start trying to do something new in our lives. Maybe you step out in faith doing something. Even anytime you try and do something new, you always find there are people that want to be detractors, right? Right? Start a new diet and see how many people have opinions on what you're doing is right and wrong. Well, you shouldn't try that. You shouldn't watch me eat a foot long next time. You should knock it out of my hands. If you're that concerned about, okay, just enough of that. We set out trying to do something, trying to better yourself, you know, you step out in faith. And I'm telling you, I've been so pumped about this message. I've already preached it twice, but I was so pumped about this. I woke up at 3 a.m. this morning, and by 3:30, I gave up because I was trying my best to get back to sleep. And I got up, and I knew what time Starbucks opened, and I got up, and I took my walk, and I walked all the way up to Starbucks. And then I sat there, and I watched an hour message from another teacher, and then I walked home, and I got home, and the sun had still barely come up. I was up that early. And by the way, Alpine is very creepy in the middle of the night. I had a little flashlight, and I kept turning around looking for mountain lions and coyotes and stuff. I was freaking out. So maybe we should talk about faith and fear, but here's what I want to say. You know, when you're trying to do something, when you're trying to, you know, get in shape, you know, it requires stepping up. It requires maybe taking a little bit of risk. And there's always, when you're trying to take risks, there's always some maybes and some risks associated with it. Well, maybe it won't work out. Maybe you're praying for healing, but you're not healed in the right amount of time or on your timeline. Maybe this, maybe that, maybe this. What if? What if? Anybody ever had some what ifs in the middle of trying to step out in faith? How many of you remember back in the day, Monday Night Football, there was an announcer by the name of Don Meredith. Anybody? Old Dandy Don. One day they were talking in the booth, and one of the guys was going off, probably Howard Cosell, was talking about, well, if the coach would do this and if the coach would do that. And Don Meredith said, well, ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. Because we all got a healthy share of ifs and buts when we're trying to still, well, what if, what if, what if, but I can't, but ifs and buts. And we need to get off our ifs. You can get off the other thing on your own time. There's always a reason, but the scripture says, and let me remind you of the scripture from last week, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it is, say it again. Impossible. I looked that up and it means impossible. We need to walk in faith, and walking in faith is going to require some risk. And knowing this, God is risking on you as well. When we step out and try and do something new, especially when God's put something on our heart, do you think that God hasn't factored in your weaknesses when he called you to do something? Do you think God didn't know Moses couldn't speak very well? Like Moses was informing God of some news he didn't know about. You know, I stutter. I don't know whether it was that, but it just says, you know, he had a hard time speaking. Do you think that God had any idea that Goliath was what Goliath was and David was what he was and this little kid? You know, do you think God might have factored that in? God factors in and looks past your weaknesses because God in you is stronger than the thing that you're facing and that mountain. And we're talking about faith that moves mountains, right? Well, if you want to move mountains, it's going to mean taking some risks with your faith. Once in a while, we got to step up. Do you think that Jesus didn't factor in the character flaws of the disciples when he called them? Okay, wait a minute. Let's just use our imagination for a moment. Fishermen, let's just take those guys. Anybody been around fishermen? Not people that go fishing. Although, I'm talking fishermen, commercial fishermen. They're not always the cleanest folk around. Please, don't get mad at me if you're born again, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, fishermen. God love you. But I'm just saying, here's what I'm trying to point. Jesus didn't walk up to some fishermen cleaning their nets that had halos over their head. Oh, there's some holy people. I think they'll come with me. He factored in their character flaws. That's why they were called disciples. He had to disciple them and lead them and train them. Jesus, God factors in whatever weaknesses you have when he calls you. And sometimes we just need to take a risk. Taking a risk is important. Here's a few anonymous quotes. Take the risk or lose the chance. If you want it, go for it. Take a risk. Don't always play it safe or you'll die wondering. Great things never come from comfort zones. I like that. this is my favorite, better an oops than a what if. Better an oops than a what if. If you hear nothing else and you write nothing else down today, write this down in your notes. I didn't leave it in there for a blank for you. One single act of courage is often makes the difference between an ordinary life and an extraordinary life. One single act of courage, risking on God, is the difference between living in an ordinary Christianity and an extraordinary Christianity. How many of you know that God has called us to do great things? Jesus said, greater things than these shall you do. That's how I know it's true. Jesus said that about us. And so understand this. We're not called to live extraordinary lives. But in your notes, you can write it down in case you don't hear me say it. It doesn't mean we need to be reckless. Walking in faith, taking risks on God, doesn't necessarily mean we need to be reckless. Just a simple example is this. You get a medical diagnosis, the doctor says, this is the treatment, and you say, well, nope, because that means I don't have any faith in God. I'm not taking any of the treatment. Do you believe God can use medicine? Do you believe God can use miracles? Do you think that medicine might be a miracle? It just doesn't mean we act reckless. Now, if the Lord speaks to you, that's on you. But understand, the last thing we need to hear in the news tomorrow is about somebody who just, you know, because of their religious faith, they just, you know, didn't want to doubt God. So they started, if you got a headache, pray and then take an aspirin or whatever. Sorry, somebody's getting mad at me because I prescribed Absinthe. I am not a doctor and I don't play one on stage either. What I'm saying is that we can't afford to be reckless. The scriptures that I have in your notes, this is Dr. Luke that writes this. Dr. Luke, you got it. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't even able to finish it. He's saying this, count the cost before you even step up to take the risk. He's not saying don't risk. He's saying make sure you count the cost. Pay attention to what you're doing before you step out there. Count the cost. Now, when I was a youth pastor in Lancaster, back when my wife and I first got married 28 years ago, she reminded me in the first service. Our church had a piece of property. How many have been to Lancaster? Just a few of you? How many aren't going to raise your hand for anything until I hand out $1 million bills? There's no such thing, so you're crazy anyway. So we're in Lancaster, and we call it Landscatter because of the winds and all that. But on East Lancaster, way outside of town, they had a plot of land there. And our church decided they were going to finally build. They had it for many years. They decided they were going to finally build on this piece of property. And they got financing promised to them. And financing was coming in 90 days. So somebody in the church stepped up and footed the cost to get things going. And they got all the brick walls, gray brick walls up. And there were window slots. I mean, there weren't windows. There were just holes where the windows were going to go one day. And there were holes where the doors were. And I'm trying to paint the picture. In the middle of the desert with all those little plants. What are they? Yucca or something like that? They're out there. Joshua tree things, whatever. All those and the cactus and all that. And then there's this gray two buildings of walls with no windows. And then funding didn't come through in 90 days like it was supposed to. And it didn't come through in 180 days. Or 6 months, or a year. I didn't tell this part of the story earlier, but the person that was funding it ended up ripping the church off a whole bunch of money. The leadership didn't really count the cost. They very recklessly moved into something. And just like this scripture, so here it is, in the middle of the desert, gray walls all over the place. The youth group would have to go out there once a year and pull weeds. I'm out there with the youth group going, guys, this is fun. Jesus is paying attention. There's going to be jewels in your crown one day. And they're like, yeah, whatever, dude. We're pulling weeds. And I got a call one day at the church. I was at the church. I got a call, and it was from a Hollywood producer's assistant calling on his behalf. They want to use your site in East Lancaster to film a commercial. I'm like, what? He goes, oh, yeah, well, they're going to compensate you. And it's like thousands a day. And I'm thinking, oh, sweet. This is an opportunity maybe to get some money for the church or whatever. So I'm talking to him. And finally I said, I'm just curious. Why is it that you want to use that facility. He said, it's the perfect setting for our commercial. We need a place that looks like a Mexican prison. I was like, he thinks our church looks like, I didn't know what to do with that. And anyway, long story short, they didn't even come film. But I thought to myself, you know, that church became the ridicule of the town. People were talking about this church that was just sitting out there empty and abandoned. Eventually, they finally built after many years. What am I saying? We need to be careful that we don't just run out recklessly ahead of God in situations. But you trust him. But you know this, you got to learn to take risks on God. At some point, no matter how much information you have, no matter how much assurity you have, there still comes a time when we have to step out. No matter how much, you might not get the picture until I paint it for you. But here's the picture I want you to see of that. I'm never going to do this, by the way, so I don't really know the process. So if you want to correct me on this later, you can. But I will never jump out of an airplane with a parachute. Just never going to happen. Yeah, how many's with me? Just curious. Okay, cool. But if I had decided to do this, I would go to a school. They would tell me everything. They would show me videos. They would talk about how they've done thousands upon thousands of jumps. No problem. Everybody's made it. All wonderful. I could be totally convinced. They feed me lunch, get me up in an airplane, strap everything on me, get into the airplane, get way up high. They say it's jump time. And at some point, no matter how much information I have, there comes a time where I have to step out off the plane. And that leads to my first point. Taking risks with God, with your faith, first of all, takes stepping out, takes action. We got to be a people of action. In other words, as one of my coaches used to say, let's get after it. It's time to get it. Next Saturday, guys, well, let's get after it. Let's get some weeds pulled out there. Let's get after it. Let's take action. Remember the parable of the talents? One was given five, one was given three, one was given one talent. And they came back to the one person who didn't do anything with his talent. The one, he's like, well, I knew you'd be mad, and so I just want to make sure I give this back to you. He's like, you wicked, lazy servant. Give it to those guys over there. At least they knew enough to do something with their talents. Sometimes, with your faith, it takes stepping out and takes action. We need to be a people of action. The meaning of this parable is pretty simple, and that is this. When God gives you a gift, he's not telling you, not trying is not an option. Let me say that again. God's gifted you. God's talented you. He's put you in a position where you've got the ability to do. If you've got the ability to help somebody, not helping them is not an option. Taking action is not an option, not if you're really risking on God. We need to be a people that take action. Sometimes, second thing is this, risk requires standing on God's word. And I had to self-edit all through the first service. I told them they could come back to the second service to hear the rest of the message, but I'm already self-editing because I just know, I know what the Holy Spirit's making me get to today, and that's this. We need to run. Sometimes all the information you have is what's in God's word. Sometimes that's all you have. Like, take tithing, for instance. Giving, for instance. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to contain it. In the natural, that seems like crazy talk. I barely have enough money to pay my bills. I don't know that I can afford to tithe. Let me just tell you, according to the word of God, you can't afford not to tithe. You can't afford not to plant seed. What farmer just sits on the seed? Well, I hope someday to get a harvest. No. And he certainly doesn't eat the seed. You can't afford not to tithe. You can't afford not to trust the Bible, what the Bible says. This is a practical thing, and I'm not digging at you and whatsoever. I'm just telling you right here, it's pretty simple. Sow and you'll reap. It's the scriptures. And all we have sometimes is the word of God. The wonderful thing about a room full of Christians who've lived their faith out is how many of you can say, you know what? I've trusted God with my finances, and he has never failed me. I got people that could give testimonies of incredible things that have happened because they trusted the Lord with their finances. Sometimes all we have is the word of God. And I want to encourage you to jump in and trust the Lord. The third thing is this. Risk requires God's perspective. Well, how am I going to see God's perspective? Well, it goes back to last week. get in his word, you'll see his perspective. But risk requires God's perspective. I've learned a lot of things about taking risks. That sometimes risk means we have to settle in our hearts that what God thinks of me is more important than what people think of me. I need to have God's perspective. Jesus, the Bible says, was a friend to sinners. He was a friend to sinners. Jesus wasn't concerned about what people were saying. And oh, were they talking? The religious folks were talking. But Jesus wasn't concerned about that. He was a friend to sinners. Jesus put himself in a position. He was taking a risk on people, on sinners, people. He said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. So he was about doing that, but people were ridiculing him. Anytime you step up and try and do something and take a risk on somebody, you might run the risk of being ridiculed. You know, when you're in junior high, maybe even a little earlier than that, you find out real quick who the cool people are in the school. You get to a new school, maybe, who the cool people are, and you find out who the nerds are. And if you didn't know who the nerds were, you were the nerd. Amen or ouch. And you figure out who to hang with and all that. Well, sometimes that just creeps into our adult life and even into our church life. Well, we'll just hang out with the folks that got it together. That's not what God has called Christians to do. He's called us to reach the lost. He's called us to reach. He's called us to take risks on people and could be more concerned with what God's thinking of us. To take a risk on people. If we're not spiritually, if we're not careful, we can buy into this mentality. And you know, if I'm not careful, I could just surround myself with all the holy folks. They wouldn't be in this room. No, I'm just teasing. Right? We could just. I tell you, we need to get out of our bubble sometimes. Take the trolley. Take the orange line. And pray the whole time. And just see people with God's perspective. God loves that guy right there. God, hey, I bet God loves that guy that's talking to himself really loudly. Yep, God loves him too. God loves her. Boy, she doesn't look like she's very clean today. She hasn't had a shower. But I bet God loves her. We got to get out of our bubble and take a risk that God sees them the way he sees you, as perfected in Christ. You know, the kingdom of God is not supposed to be made up of people that all look just like you. It just isn't the way it works. All perfect people. Everybody that has it all together. Understand this. God's not calling us to perfection. He's calling us to pursue him with all of our hearts. Understand this, the story in Mark's gospel. He's talking about Jesus having dinner with sinners. They question, why is he eating with tax collectors? On hearing this, he said, is it not the healthy that need a doctor? It's the sick that need a doctor. That's what Jesus was. Dr. Jesus was on the job. Anybody can come in here to church and raise your hands and hoot and holler and have a wonderful, happy day in the Lord amongst friends. It's when we get out there and we need to share our faith. I did something this last week. It leads into my next part of the message. But let me just share this about taking risks. I'll save it for a minute. Let's get to the next one real fast. Risk requires dying to yourself. Dying to yourself. Having a faith in God and taking a risk requires dying to yourself. You know, when we're worshiping God, sometimes we need to. It's going to require risk. It goes back to the last point. You care more about what God thinks of you than you do what the person in the aisle next to you thinks of you. Sometimes it takes risk when you're worshiping God. Sometimes, you know, we need to be willing to look a little bit undignified, maybe. Maybe sometimes you just need to settle in your heart. It's okay to raise your hands before the Lord in worship. It's a little bit risky for somebody that's new. How many know the Bible says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary? Just the five people that lifted up their hands. The Bible says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary. And so here's what I want you to do. Nobody's going to be disobedient. Let's all lift up our hands in the sanctuary. You can do it. Yes. I knew you could. But I know how it is when you first kind of become a Christian. You're like, everybody's raising their hands. And you finally like step up and you're like. And then you get a little more courage and you do a little bit. You might slip a wand up. You know, you don't want to go all the way. That's good. Fanatics do two hands. Just one hand. Got to have one hand to fight people off. The other hand for Jesus. But eventually you just lose yourself. And most of the times where God's spoken to me the most in my life, and about the things I need to do was when I just lost myself in worship. And I just said, you know what? I don't really give a rip what anybody thinks about me, because guess what? I'm not worshiping them. I'm worshiping Him. Faith takes risks. Takes risk in your worship. I'm not saying you have to be obnoxious in your worship. I'm just saying get along with God and present worship to Him. David was a man, the Bible says, who was a man after God's own heart. At one time, he was worshiping so much, he was dancing in the streets. It was a long story. The reason he was dancing was a long story, wonderful thing, but he had every reason to celebrate. He's celebrating so hard, he's dancing through the streets, that his clothes fell off. I'm not calling for that next Sunday, okay? That's not this church. But his wife's up in the, watched him. I saw the way you were worshiping your God down in the streets. You should be ashamed. He looked back at her like any husband might and said, you think that's something? I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I'll even be more undignified the next time. Because he was worshiping his God. He wasn't worshiping his reputation. He wasn't worshiping his wife's thought process. He was worshiping his God. It takes dying to yourself. Risk number 5 requires taking a risk on people. Even in church leadership, sometimes we got to take a risk with people. We've got to be willing to risk putting people to work around here in leadership that don't have it all together. It's not that we don't hold up standards for leaders. Amen? We absolutely want to hold up standards. But if the standard is perfection, I have to resign today. So I'll see you later. If the standard is perfection, David, not going to be on the drums next week. Alan, sorry, buddy. You're out. No, that's not the standard. Yes, we're going to hold up standards, but the standard's not perfection. It's about you pursuing God. It's about you being willing to be corrected. It's about you willing to become a disciple. It's about you stepping out. We got to take a risk on people sometimes and be willing to use them. And by the way, how much, you know, some people are like, well, I don't know enough about the Word of God to be a servant in the house of God. Do you know how to say hello? How many of you have a good smile? Smile at me. Say hello. You can be a greeter and you don't know anything about the Bible. You can be used. It's a gift. It's a talent. It's a skill. And we need that. We've got to have ushers. We've got to have people to watch over the kids, watchmen. We've got to have all kinds of things in the house of God. And I'm willing to take a risk on somebody that might not know all of the Hebrew and Greek alphabet. I don't know all the Hebrew and Greek alphabet. I'm going to take a risk on somebody who can't recite all 66 books of the Bible in order. Some of you Sunday school nerds are totally on it right now. This is Exodus. I'm willing to take a risk on people that may not have it all together, because you know what? The body of Christ isn't just made up of people who look just like you. It's many different parts, many different members. It's a lot like this wall, as I've alluded to many times before. But you take any one of these pieces of board off this wall, and I just, you know, just pick any one. I was going to rip one off the wall. That'd be really effective, but I might not be able to pull it off. And you'd be like, ah, Pastor, you're kind of weak. But anyway, take any one of those boards and just find it on the floor here. You'd be like, what's that board doing there? And you pick it up and look at it. And it's not much. You just go throw it in the trash. You're like, pfft. Because any one of those things are nothing to look at, but all together, it's an amazing, beautiful thing that was put together for it. Different colors, different shapes, different sizes. Some are jagged, some are messed up, some are a little more perfect than others. Some got holes in them, some are really holy. The body of Christ is made up of a lot of people that look just like you, filled with imperfections, and we could take risks on people. When you study the disciples and Jesus, he sent them out to minister. It wasn't about their perfection. It was about their willingness to be utilized. Can I just encourage you? There are plenty of places here in the church. My daughter reminded me of an interesting thing today. I heard it years ago, but she said, you know, when you have people greeting and shaking hands, you should train all your greeters and, you know, all the leaders, all of you guys that do stuff. You should say, hey, good to meet you. Where are you serving around here? So that's an interesting thought process. But just because you want to create a culture where there's a place for everyone to be utilized and no one's disqualified today. Is there something you can do? Anybody, we got weeds that need to be pulled around here. You want to come pull weeds? We got weeds. We got painting. I mean, how much biblical knowledge do you need to paint? Well, that was an easy question. Nobody answered.
Okay.
To exercise our faith, it means that we need to take risks. I want the worship team to come. Here's how I want to end this. Remember I said one single act of courage is often makes the difference between the ordinary and the extraordinary? It takes risk. Rosa Parks took a risk. The first guy to go up to space, that was crazy. I'm talking about jumping on an airplane being crazy. That's way crazy. That's when the computers that they had filled up six rooms and they had less power than is in your cell phone and they shot them up into space. That's crazy. That's super risky. But boy, we remember those guys. We remember those names. It was those people that stepped up and said, I'm willing to be used. How many of you ever read the book, The Tale of Three Kings? Anybody? Great book. You should get it. It's not long. It's a phenomenal book. But here's a quote from the book. Beginning empty-handed and alone frightens the best of men. It also speaks volumes of just how sure they are that God is with them. The question I want to ask you today is this. Are you a person that wants to live extraordinary? A person that takes risks on the Lord? You know, extraordinary people never regret the risks they took. They only regret the chances they didn't take, the opportunities that they let pass by, the what ifs. Well, what if they let somebody talk them out of that? I want to be a type of a person that takes risks. I want to be a church that takes risks. I want to be the kind of a church that when we get to a certain size, the pastor decides we need a Saturday night service. To the ridicule of many. I'm not holding anybody. What God put in my heart, God put in my heart. But you know what? We've been doing Saturday night services for a year. There are people that you've never met because they only go to Saturday night service. They prefer Saturday. You scare them. No, I'm teasing. There are people that I may have never met. One couple was here in the first service today. They weren't there last night, which freaked me out because they almost always go to Saturday night. But they came to the first service today. And I thought, and he specifically said, we hadn't been going to church for several years. This is his testimony. I'm not sharing anything out of school here. We hadn't been going to church for several years. We drove by the church one day and we saw this beautiful Saturday night banner. And we decided to check it out. And they've never stopped coming since. Three life group seasons in a row they've been involved. Guess what? If I'd only done it for them, it would have been worth it. Step up and take a chance on Saturday nights. You know, the day that I announced Saturday nights that week, Becky Hilburn, George, everybody knows George, tallest man in the room always. Light bulb changer if you need him. Becky's not. Becky, when I announced it, she came to me. She goes, I can't. I'm blown away. She said, I just decided. Her 92-year-old mother lives in a home where they have services every Sunday. I just decided that I was going to stop coming to my home church so that I can go and be with my mom at church every single Sunday. And that week I announced Saturday night service. And I don't know that she's missed any Saturday night services other than maybe a time she was sick or they needed to be out of town. She's here every week. Sits right about there. That's Becky's seat. It's holy, I'm telling you. What happens when you step out and take a risk? The intimidation factor steps up. I had people saying, what are you trying to do? Are you going to split us all apart? You know what? I'm trying to reach people. For the last five Saturdays, I've gone into a local establishment. I won't say where because I don't want to embarrass her, because it would be very easy for you to identify who this is, and I would never want to embarrass her. But I went into one of our local establishments five Saturdays in a row, and every single... I've made up reasons to go in there. I didn't need to go there. I made up reasons to go in there. Five Saturdays in a row, I invited her to come to our Saturday night service because I found out she gets off in time to come to the Saturday night service, and she works on Sundays. Five Saturdays in a row. Four Saturdays in a row. Three Saturdays in a row. Two Saturdays in a row. Yesterday I walked in there. As I walked through the door, she goes, hey, it's 5:30 tonight, right? Come on, somebody. She didn't show up last night. Guess where I'm going to be this Saturday? You didn't show up. No. Hey, love to see you tonight. I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to keep risking, and I'm going to keep risking. And I just want to know, what if I'd never invited her? I could have came and went all the times I went. The Holy Spirit told me I need to. What if you never invite somebody to come to church? What if we never would have started a Saturday night service? What if? Or what if we do? What if we do take a risk on that person? What if we do go pick it? You know, listen, after four Saturdays, I don't want to go in there a fifth Saturday. She's just going to look at me funny. Not that time, she didn't. It's tonight, right? A smile on her face. What if we take a risk and start a Saturday night service? We meet people. There are people here. I'll just give you a great example. Sarah. You don't know Sarah? I don't think anybody here knows Sarah. She came after living here in town for 11 months, hearing all about the church, following us on Facebook. For those of you who think Facebook is worthless, she's been following us for 11 months, paying attention to what we're doing. She shows up to church on a Saturday night. There's about 15, 18 people here. She loved us so much, she brought her husband back. They haven't stopped coming since. Sometimes we just got to take a risk. Maybe we should take a risk and start a Spanish-speaking service one day. Did Pastor just say that? You know what's been stirring in my heart for many years? Begin to pray into that, I'm telling you right now. Why would we do that? Well, because why not? And what if we don't? What if we don't? What if we don't? There's not a single significant Pentecostal Hispanic work within 20 minutes of us. Why wouldn't we? I've had people come, back when we had the food bank, we'd have people come all the time and say, do you guys have Spanish-speaking services? Nope, we don't, sorry. I'm tired of saying no. Okay, thank you for the one person that said right. Guess what? If I got to take a risk by myself, I will. I'm going to count the cost, but listen, I think the prize is worth the cost. I think you're worth the cost. I think it's worth taking the opportunity. Pastor, you don't know Spanish. You don't know me. I can learn quick. Rosetta Stone. I just have ideas. You know what? The band can play in Spanish. Did you know that? Come on, guys. Play something in Spanish. Perfect. See? They got it. I'm just saying we can take a risk. So be praying. Because we as a church, your pastor is going to be one. I was asked, why are you canceling services and going to the park? Well, because it's air conditioned here and it's going to be really hot out there and I think it'd be fun. Because I'm willing to take a stinking risk that somebody might come to Christ. There was a family there whose husband hadn't been in church in probably 12 years. And they come every single week. And their husband came to that park service. And today showed up in our first service for the first time in 12 years. If I had something to kick over right now, I would. I'm feeling Hulk Hogan-ish right now in the spirit. I'm just telling you, I'm going to take a risk on people because people are worth it. The prize is worth it. God's call on my life is to take risks and to trust God. And here's the thing I want to say. How do you want your story to be told? What's your story going to sound like? What story do you want them to tell about you when you get to the end? He played it safe. He woulda, shoulda, coulda, but he never did. I don't know about you. I want them to tell an extraordinary story about myself. I want them to tell an extraordinary story about this church. I want them to tell an extraordinary story about how we lived extraordinary lives, trusting and risking on God. If there's anybody we can risk on, it's God. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Not only do I want to ask the question, how do you want your story to end? Don't you want to get to the end of the story and they tell your story and they don't have to leave out any of the parts? That's a story I want to have told about me. He was faithful. He did what God put in his heart. He risked it all for the sake of the cross. That's the story I want to tell. If you're with me this morning, I want you to stand. I want you to stand if you understand that comfortable is not always the answer to the equation. Sometimes it takes being uncomfortable. Sometimes you got to make up a reason to go visit a person on a Saturday in their place of business. You got to make it up. Fake it till you make it, maybe. Since my diet started, one of the things I got to do is drink like 9,000 gallons of water a day. That's what it feels like. I drink about a gallon and a half to 2 gallons of water every single day. But you know what? I have a water bottle in the office. I can go to the sparkless bottle all day long. But my wife will tell you, Luann will tell you, I get up every couple hours, I get in my car and I drive to Starbucks and I get a water. And they're like, refill the water? They're not making any money on me. What am I doing? I'm putting myself in a position where I can meet somebody, talk to somebody, take a risk that God's going to get me out of my little bubble. It's time for us to do this. It's time for us to take a risk. The song that we sang early talks about He can move the mountains. I believe He can do that. Do you believe that? I want to walk in faith, risking on God that He's going to move whatever mountains you and I are facing. But part of the mountains that we're facing is our own inability to take a step in faith. And I believe God wants to do an amazing thing through you. Do you believe that today? Father, we thank You this morning that, Lord, we can walk in faith and not by sight. We don't have to see it. We just believe You, and we're going to take a risk, God. And, Lord, just as we are here as a representative of somebody, somebody invited us to church. Now, God, we're going to turn around and invite somebody else. We've seen You move in our lives. Now we want to see You move in somebody else's life. Father God, I pray for an anointing this week on every single one of us that we'll go out and we'll share the gospel. That what You did in me, You can do in them. You did it before, and God, You can do it again. In Jesus' name.